What up, though? You are tuning in to What Works For Us, the Black Queer Lifestyle Podcast,
where we'll discuss everything black and queer,
mental health,
relationships,
art,
fashion.
We take it back our culture, y'all.
Carry my city like some shoulder pads and strap. Evidently, I've been killing.
Hey.
We are here today on MLK Day. Dr. King, this is for you. Go ahead, Emerson. What's your tribute to Dr. King?
I'm just going to say happy MLK Day.
Why you got me working on MLK Day? You know I'm black and we not supposed to work today.
We're doing it for the culture.
Are we doing it for the culture? Okay.
Yeah, we're not doing anything Anglo.
Okay, right. We're recording What Works For Us on MLK Day, but we need to do our intro. Okay. What works for us? All black?
All queer.
All black?
That was the ghetto.
That was the ghetto? You want to do it again?
That was, I'm like, where did that even come from?
Okay, so how you want to do it? I'm going to let you lead it this time.
I'm going to let you lead it.
Go ahead.
It's not a lead.
Well, go ahead.
I guess you could have just lead, or you did ask. I don't know, but it's just like, okay, and what are they listening to?
What works for us? All black?
All queer.
All black?
I have nothing.
Oh, but last week you had something.
Well, because it rhymed.
Oh, you couldn't think of that today? Mm-mm. What kind of female rapper are you? Lil' Kim would be very ashamed.
I'm like Eve. I'm not a freestyler.
Who's that girl? Na 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 na. What's she been up to since she left the, what's that show called?
The Talk. She at the palace with her husband.
Okay. And she probably not even in America, right? She in UK?
She in the UK.
Mm. Oh, well, who's checking in first?
I'll go.
I'm going to need you to do a period. I go period and then go.
Excuse me?
Because it's like go ahead.
Anyway, as I was saying, It's business as usual for me, but one thing that I have been working on, as far as in Tyreek and I, or Mr. Telson and I was talking about this offline, was, it's a part of my journey to queendom, which is the official, entry into journey to queendom is actually in a couple of weeks.
Okay.
My 37th dynasty is not too far away.
Ooh, girl.
I don't have the same disease that you.
What disease?
The Mariah Carey disease.
What, trying to stay young and vibrant?
I'm juicy. I'm good where I'm at. So, that's coming in a couple of weeks. But part of one of my other things I'm doing for my journey to queendom is getting my home decor, my apartment together. Because, I was telling Mr. Telltales offline, throughout all of my 20th dynasties or all the dynasties of my 20th. What are you doing? Don't put that on there. All the dynasties in my 20s and all the, damn near all the dynasties in my 30s, I feel like I'm, stop it. What are you doing?
It's just a nail shaving.
Which is the exact reason why I wouldn't want you to put this on here. What is wrong with you? In the trash? You don't play with nail shavings?
Why you can't play with nail shavings? Ew. You act like it's some type of disease.
It's a nail shaving. Who plays with nail shavings?
I bite my nails. And then I like to put the nail shavings in between my teeth.
I'm not one of those people that was at Capitol Hill last week and doing that disgusting type shit they do.
The nail shavings is not going to be compared to that, but go ahead.
They probably eat their nail shavings, eat boogers.
Oh my goodness. I don't eat boogers. But I just like my nail shavings. Everybody know I bite my toenails.
Oh, well, okay.
Go ahead.
No, but yeah, I'm just tired of my house looking like, or my apartment looking like, the hood rat starter kit as far as home decor goes. And, so I'm just slowly but surely buying stuff and pieces and stuff to fill it, or to kind of fill up all the pieces that, because I'm going to be in this apartment till March 2022. So I can't go that much longer and don't do nothing else as far as home decor. Like, I have so much left to do, but I don't feel too bad because, she has a whole house, though. But one of my YouTube girlfriends been in her house for almost 2 years, and she's just not doing her bedroom, getting some of the same shit I just got. So, I mean, it does take time, but I just need the space to be complete and look like me, for me, and just, whenever, you know, me and my king are united, you know, I don't want him to come here and be like, no, what kind of bitch is you? Like, you know, I mean, think I'm halfway down here on a fucking air mattress. I mean, like, I'm not on one, but I'm just saying, I don't want to come off like, that's the vibes I'm giving, like, you know, or I'm the type of bitch who sleep on a mattress or sleep on the mattress without sheets. Like, I don't want to give
up. Oh my God, that is so ghetto.
Yeah, so I'm not, or, you know, we about to get busy. You're like, oh, you ain't gonna put no sheets on here?
Mm-mm. But just fuck on the couch, like Evanson.
No, I don't want to do, I definitely don't want to fuck on my couch, even though it's big.
You put a sheet on it.
No.
You're supposed to put something down. Like, every time I have sex on the couch, I put something down on the couch.
Well, yeah, you're supposed to put, I would think so.
You don't want to get no lube and booty juice.
I don't.
On your pillow. You can't explain to the cleaner why your pillow smells like booty hole.
See, no. Luckily, it's not a huge space. The bedroom is not that far from the living room. Bring your ass up in over here. The bed is big enough. We just use that. Even though the couch is big.
It is.
But even still, I'm just trying to get it together because I want the jizz just to be right in here. I want the energy to be right. I'm trying to raise my chakras. I'm learning about chakras. And I learned something interesting about chakras, too, that, you know, sexual, like, sex and the sexual chakra is a very low chakra. It's only, like, the second chakra. So that's, like, a low vibration. So people are who, well, let me not say that. I'll just leave it at that. Sexual, like, the sex or the sexual, like, energy on as far as chakras, there's seven chakras, and sexual energy is two. So it's not a very high vibration. Not saying there's nothing wrong with sex. I'm just saying, you know.
Well, is it because it comes to us a little bit easier?
We get it younger. So, okay. Like, we get our sexual, that part of us comes more out. You know, some of us as early as 19 years old, so.
What's the first chakra?
The first chakra, damn. I just remember the second one. I don't remember.
Because it was sex.
Right, because it was sex. I'm like, that's a low vibration. But I'm still learning about it. But let me look. But yeah, I'm learning about all that kind of stuff. I'm trying to get my energy and my space right. Because, you know, I just, it's all a part of my journey to the queendom. I'm sorry, I'm looking for the chakras, but.
Well, I got a question for you, because I know you're into, like, woo-woo and stuff like that. Have you ever thought about, because I know my partner's mom, she's she does feng shui, and she would come out, and I'm assuming pre-COVID, would come and feng shui your apartment. Have you ever thought about, like, doing it yourself, like, or do you believe in, like, because you're talking about chakras, what about, I guess it's feng shui, is chakras around the same type of...
I would
of...
think it would be like that, yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, around it. I mean, I try to do certain stuff that's kind of, I don't know. Like, I mean, I'm not against it, but I think there's already some stuff. This apartment is made wrong. So I wouldn't be following it anyway, because I think with feng shui, your steps is not supposed to be, like, right in front of your door. So... I'm already canceled out on that.
No, but he got, like, rocks behind the door and, like, different things hanging and different. It's not, like, overt. It's, like, small things that I was like, well, why is that there?
Yeah.
He's like, oh, that's his mom came and feng shui his whole apartment. So it's, like, certain little things.
Well, you could do certain little things, all right. Mm-hmm. But I'm saying, as far as even just the structure of stuff, mm-hmm. I think it's already jacked up in here, because the stairs, that's, like, the first no-no. So I'm like, I can't. But there's other stuff you can do. I mean, I do got my my elephants over there with their noses ringing up. Now, I don't have them pointed the wrong way. They're pointed the wrong way because I think they're supposed to point towards the door, because they're supposed to serve as, like, protection or something.
Mm-hmm.
But so I have them pointed the wrong way. So I do little stuff. I guess I do ghetto way. I just make it. You know, some black people, we just make our own shit.
Okay.
You know,
like, oh, like, it's just feng shui.
Right, this is feng shui. Like, you supposed to have elephants in your house. Like, oh, mm-hmm. but they're not pointed the right way. You're supposed to have them by the door. Oh, well, they ain't here.
They ain't here. That's enough, bitch.
Right. But, okay, so the first root chakra is it's the foundation. That makes sense. It's the foundation of which we build our life. So safety, security, stability, imbalanced attributes, it would be scattered energies, anxiety, and I guess scattered energies would be scattered energies, anxiety, and fear. So I guess that makes sense.
Okay.
But yeah, I guess maybe I can go through all of them since I went here just real quick.
Yeah.
The third chakra is the self-esteem, pleasure, willpower, personal responsibility. The fourth one is the heart, and it is it represents love, self-love, governs our relationships. The fifth chakra, it represents the ability to speak and communicate clearly and effectively. And the sixth chakra is, it represents intuition, foresight, and it's driven by openness and imagination. And then the seventh one, I know this one is spirituality, but it represents states of higher consciousness and divine connection.
Oh, well, I think what the looks like the way the chakra is, because I've seen like diagrams, it's kind of going from the bottom up mm-hmm. from our body. Mm-hmm. So maybe that's why sex is number two, because you start with the foundation, because you just go down the list that you went through, it going from the top of your head to the bottom to your feet. No,
it does. It's based off of if you were sitting like mm-hmm. you in a yoga pose. So yeah, that's what it's based off, but it still is a low energy. Mm-hmm. Like you're supposed to tend to all seven chakras. You're not mm-hmm. supposed to just pick and choose or, you know, stop at one. It's, you know, so when I think of a relationship, I would want a relationship that involves or stimulates all seven chakras. That's how I see it.
Okay.
So
say it again. Say it again for the folks in the back.
Well, yes, if I had a relationship, or when I get in a relationship, I want all seven of my chakras to be stimulated. So that's why I was saying sexual energy is just the second one, but mm-hmm. you still got five more. So that's what I'm saying. Well, that's all I was kind of saying with that. But anyway, learning about that, getting my apartment together, I do have my elephants in here, my giraffes. The giraffes represent, I got giraffes for a reason, because giraffes represent height, because you know I height discriminate. So I'm getting some more giraffes, because I want that tall energy in here. The bed, my bed is big. My couch is big. It has a lot of space. Mm-hmm. For a tall man. So I'm into that type of stuff. So I be like on Wayfair.com. Overstock.com, Amazon.com, Target. I'm on all these, just looking at home decor like all the time now. So that's another project on top of all the other stuff I'm working on as far as my journey to queendom. And it's actually fun, and just to see the results of it, it's kind of like, you know, makes me feel grown and sexy and, you know, juicy. So I'm here for it. But that's it. That's all that's been going on with me.
You mentioned your over the hill new age coming up on your birthday, aka your birthday. And I'm going to ask you this every episode until your birthday. We ain't got that many. Any plans for your birthday?
No. I don't have any plans for my birthday, to be honest with you. I mean, you can do stuff, but I don't even feel like, I just don't even have the energy to do anything. Like, well, we're going to go here because it's COVID friendly. I just rather not. And then, too, you're not supposed to live your life in fear. I'm not going to act like I'm scared or anything like that, but it's just almost like this, the energy right now. I don't know. I mean, my birthday ain't too far after this damn shit that's happening this week. So I don't, you know, hopefully, you know, I don't know. I don't have any plans. I don't. If I do anything, I would probably just rather just do something here for a small audience, get some greasy pizza, talk shit. I can do that because I'll be in my
space. This sounds like a house party.
No.
Let me get the flyer made.
No. No. I said a small,
I'm
going to
call Yellow Stud to get a flyer design.
Said a small number.
I said over the hill party.
No, that's not no over the hill party either.
No, we're supposed to be hanging out just for our listeners. You know, it is also our homegirl herself, Kristen Dior's birthday. This weekend, we're supposed to be coming together for a drink and stuff like that. So Aquarius season, when do it start? Like 2 days from now, something like that?
Isn't it January? I think it's January 21st.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah. Okay. Yeah.
So, yeah. Yeah. So, it's Aquarius season. Yes, it's Aquarius season. You know, but it's also the age of, well, I don't know. It is the age of Aquarius, but I mean, whatever. I think I've talked about it before. Anyway, but that's it. That's my check-in. That's what's been going on with me, and that's it.
Well, this is my check-in. I'm start off with this. Me and my homegirls are getting very upset, meaning me and my multiple personalities, because I went to, what you call that place that sells, like, hair products and stuff like that?
Sally's?
Sally's. I went to Sally's, and I bought me some real expensive $8 bottle of fingernail polish, the black kind. And look at my nails.
You like them like that.
Well, but why did they start chipping? I literally just did this 2 days ago.
Maybe you just breath on them.
I spent $8, and this is what they just... I mean, they ain't never... When I put them on, it felt so good. It was, like, really an easy application. It felt real smooth. It wasn't no lumps and no, you know, clinky stuff. But look how easy the nails, the polish just cracked.
Well, is it gel, though?
No, it's not gel. I have the gel thing that Will got me. I just haven't used it yet.
Oh, okay.
So, no, it's just regular. I didn't get gel polish because I already have that whole little kit.
Oh, okay.
So, but I still spent $8. It should be doing all that now, and I'm biting on them, and then you didn't let me put my nail shaving on your iPad. Rude. But So just an update about my fasting, guys. So I went 2 weeks with no liquor, no blunt, no black and mild, no nothing. Just eating healthy, no soda, no nothing. I was going to go the whole 30 days of no alcohol, but I think I went too far by doing no nothing for 2 weeks. But, you know, I really felt, I don't feel bad, okay? I did it 2 weeks, and I really felt really good those 2 weeks. I really enjoyed it. I felt very, I don't know, very centered. You know, I was making a lot of decisions. I was able to do some reading. I did a lot of baths. I was very, really, very involved with myself. I can't describe it. You know, I was going on my walks and working out. And I spent one weekend just really taking care of myself, reading, writing, and stuff like that. So I really enjoyed the last 2 weeks. So I think hopefully, you know, with experiencing 2 weeks of, like, no substances, that I will find a balance in between, right? You know, and maybe I still do the fasting. I think I like that more so than making a big deal like, oh, I'm not going to drink no much this week. You know what I'm saying? I just want to go and do more fastings. So I did 2 weeks, 14 days, guys. I didn't do the whole 30 days of no alcohol. I tried, but I went to Houston this weekend, and, you know, we just leave it at that. Had a lot of cocktails, but that was just as fun, you know. And so I didn't want to continue to be hard on myself about it. It was a decision that I made. But again, I enjoyed the 2 weeks that I had. So I'll be able to let that go and let that be the actual thing. I fast 2 weeks, no nothing. So that was my fast. Maybe one day I'll be able to do the month. I didn't think I could do 2 weeks. So I'm going to take little baby steps at a time. And what else has been going on? I will have the idea for my new place. So I'm excited about that. I'm not going to tell you guys about it, but I have a really, really good idea. Well, I guess I could tell you about it a little bit. You know, this year marks the 10th anniversary of when I lost my first serious relationship that I was in Atlanta. So it's been 10 years ago since he passed away. And I think I'm going to write a play about it. Well, a fictitious version of our relationship. Okay. You know, again, we don't want nobody coming after me.
Right.
But I think it's time to tell that story. I think it's on my spirit. And I'm already enjoying it. I put it like that. You know, I know it's going to be a lot of, like, emotional work.
Yeah.
But, you know, I like that emotional work. I like just, you know, confronting things kind of, you know, head on. And I do that through writing. So I might need some extra therapy this year. We'll see. But I'm excited about that. Yeah, I mean, I was just thinking the other day, like, life, like, doing my fasting, I felt very blessed. And I just wanted to, you know, really put that out there in the energy for everybody. Like, if you're at home or wherever you listen to our podcast and things are okay, enjoy those moments where things are okay, where you feel safe, you feel healthy, you feel seen, you know, all of those things. Make sure that you enjoy those moments and actually, you know, take it in. Because I think sometimes we don't take that in.
I think it's so funny that you mentioned that. I think I forgot to mention that. I was going to say something similar in my check-in and I forgot. Because I was going to say how I'm enjoying my journey to queendom. And I'm just kind of basking in the moments of me just doing stuff. Like, you know, for one, I'm addicted to getting boxes shipped to me at my house. I love getting a box shipped. Like, I love waiting for the little shop app and they get a little, I actually got one today, a little ding. 2 packages is coming. One's coming on Wednesday and another one's coming on Friday. And that just excites me. But this is all a part of my journey to queendom and I'm enjoying it. And like you said, I'm appreciative of everything, like my health, you know, having a place to be able to decorate that I like.
And he has a nice apartment, everybody. I know he talked about living on a mattress. So let's clarify that. He's talking about decor only. He has a very, very nice a home.
Well, thank you. But, right. But it's just,
I wouldn't be here if I... Look, we recording on the floor.
On a milk crate.
Right, the roaches crawling up the wall, okay. Girl.
But yeah, but no, so no. It's so funny you said that. I totally agree, but please finish, because I totally agree with that.
Yeah, yeah, and I think that's important, and sometimes we just don't, you know, take our blessings or really just sit and just be like, Lord, thank you, or whatever you want to give thanks to. You know, make sure you do that, because the next week might not be as good, so you have to really...
You do have to do that.
You have to, and I was able to really do that during my fasting, and, you know, and so if anything that I got out of it, that was that, the ability to just take the time out to be thankful what was going on around me. I did do my first national interview this week.
Yes, you did. Yes. Fox O. Yes. Miss Vivica.
Yes, I was on Fox O. I was on a Book of Sean show. And I've had to tell you guys, I have a publicist now, so I'm going to be doing a lot of different the projects and interviews.
Yes, publicist.
I'm just trying to elevate, right? You have to keep, you know, I keep saying to myself, like, every year, how do I keep growing and elevate and stuff like that? And I was just thinking about another of the reasons, right? I was just thinking 2017 when I got the, 2018, the Austin Under 40, then year 21, I get the LGBT Under 40, which is a national recognition.
And congratulations on that, too. Like, Tariq B, he just is such, you know, he always is getting an award and all that kind of stuff. I sometimes am a horrible friend because I forget. I not forget, but it's like he'll tell me, and it's like, okay. And it's almost like, you know, they were talking about this on a Secret to Success podcast with E.T. the Hip Hop Preacher. Like, he had his, one of his closest, like, I guess right-hand men said he had got something. And he was like, I didn't even know he had got that. He was like, he got it. He was like, man, he was like, I didn't even know what to say. He was like, I forgot to say something. He's like, I didn't even, you know, you got it, and I forgot to say. I guess that's what Tariq is like. He just so much, and I just forgot. Like, I didn't make a big of a deal of it as I tried to. Because I try to be the biggest cheerleader possible when he have wins like that, because he deserves it. But now, again, I want to publicly say congratulations on that.
Thank you. And it's just really just, again, I was able to just to take that time and just be thankful for the blessings, because being like a community organizer and just doing what we're doing, right, period, you know. And we were talking about, like, I think we talked about it on the show, like, how you, I think we were offline, I was like, certain things that I want or certain recognitions. And we had that whole conversation. You were like, fuck that, you know, like, some of that shit don't even matter, right, you know, type of thing. Like, you have to set your own. And I agree with that. Like, sometimes you compare yourself to what other people have and doing, but you have to not allow that to happen, because that can happen. We all know that. We talked about it on the show several times, like looking at other people's successes and sometimes thinking that's what you should have. But you have to learn how to
celebrate your small wins.
Celebrate your small wins and your success.
And don't discount yours. Yeah. I'm kind of going through that right now, where it's like I'm trying to discount something because it doesn't look like what society or what the bigger picture is. And I keep on telling myself, like, no, bitch, like, you did that, and you did what you wanted to do. That was a success for you, for what you wanted to do. So you achieved a goal that you set for yourself that you wanted to do. That deserves a round of applause. Fuck what other people gonna say about it on the outside. Fuck them. That's why I like to celebrate myself.
You have to celebrate yourself, period, because you can't wait on other people to do it. I mean, if other people acknowledge you, that's always a nice addition.
No, it
to,
is.
You, it, know.
You can always be appreciative of that, of course. Yeah.
So yeah. So that was it. So the episode with my experience on Fox. So it was real good. I really enjoyed Dr. Sean. He spoke a lot of love into me.
He did speak a lot of love into you. I thought that was so sweet what he said. I was just sitting there like, oh, that is just so sweet.
It was. He was really cool. A really cool guy, and I felt like I got a lot of good points off. I was nervous. I'm always, because everybody was asking me, were you nervous? Were you nervous? I'm like, of course I was nervous. I'm always going to probably be nervous anytime I go into a situation, you know, of the unknown. And then as the platforms get bigger and bigger, you know, the nerves, you know, I'm like, oh my God, you know, everybody going to see this, you know, it's going to be there.
And it's funny, and not to cut you off, but you, like, you're the way you move in, like, it's almost like I be thinking, like, well, don't you know that this is what's going to come next? Like, you be acting like, you know, like, don't you know that you're going to probably be, like, on big stages and stuff like that, talking to people? You just be moving, and it's, oh, this opportunity came. Yeah, nigga, that's what you working for, right?
Right, that's what it's all about.
Right.
Yeah, and I felt prepared, right? I was preparing myself for... But I guess, I think the first time, the first experience with that particular show was, he was trying to get, like, you know, the stuff that we talked about prior to that was not what we talked about on the show.
Oh, okay.
And he didn't get rude or anything. He was really, really good. But, like, you can never be prepared for that. You know, you had to be able to respond accordingly. And make sure you have boundaries, you know, because, you know, as a host, he was trying to get information out of me that I was like, no, we're not going all the way there. But it was a very enjoyable experience. So for that to be my first national interview, I feel grateful. Again, the small wins, Yeah, I was excited about it. And like, even when I didn't even go on Twitter that day, but I didn't know Foxo had tagged me on a tweet and had reposted my flyer with, and I was just like, okay, I didn't even know. So that was really exciting. Nice exposure. So, you know, I'm just excited for what's next. What else? What else happened this week? Just working. Working. What's in the Mirror? We're coming out with a bunch of programs. I'm starting announcing them tomorrow. Some old, some new. So a lot of stuff is just going on. Work, work, work. So that's my check-in. But blessed. Blessed and feeling good.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's like, I mean, you you came out 2021 swinging. Just like you always do.
I was ready.
Like,
I
you was ready. You was so ready. Like, ready. You came out like, damn, nigga, you even give us a chance. Like, some people just getting a year started. And you done already did an interview and everything. I'm like, got programs rolling out. Like, what the? I mean, but that's what it's about. That's really what it's about, you know. But, you know, it's just funny because that's just what you do. Like,
I really do think about how I can keep going. You know what I'm saying? Like, this, our venture. And I just, that's why I love this podcast so much, because I feel like we were talking about, when we go back and listen to this podcast, it is going to encompass so much of our journey.
Yeah.
You know, because we're going on year three. This is season three, y'all. I didn't even say that. This is season three now, 2021. So, I don't know if you even paid attention to the marketing episode. So, this is a new season. Because you look at it like, oh, okay. I do the marketing. He's the producer. Right. So, so, this is our third. But we're literally going into season three, right? We started this podcast 2018 February. Mm-hmm. And this is actually episode 60 that we're recording now. 60. And so just think about what has happened in the last two years.
My gosh.
And going into the third year. So I'm very appreciative of this show, because like, it's gonna have all our shit.
Yeah. Everything.
Everything.
Everything. I just hope I can add. It's almost I always want to, like, you know, because we was talking offline about some stuff, and I'm like, I just hope that, you know, some stuff manifests that I can add in here before, you know what I'm saying? Like, I want to be able to have a complete story like Kenya Moore on House of My House. I want to have the fairy tale ending. But, that's what's up.
Yeah, that's, whatever. Emerson, like, look how far what you've gone and your whole, like, what we did today. I don't know if you want to even want to talk about that. Maybe the next episode we can go. But yeah, your growth, right, and everything that you've been through as far as Essence and Style, and what was it before?
The L code.
And then everything. So it has evolved.
It has evolved. No, it has. I'm not discounting myself. I'm just saying, though, it's like, you know, I'm still waiting for, you know, I'm setting up the castle for a king. That's why I'm doing all this shit in my home. It's that high key. That's half of what I'm doing it for, too. You know, they say if you build the castle, the king will come.
Brick by brick.
Okay, that's what I'm doing. But I'm definitely, I love that we have this too, because listening back to it, it's going to be like, so it was like, oh my God. It's going to be like comedy and everything. It's going to be so much encompassed into this.
Mm-hmm. So I know on this episode, we said it's going to be our like pop update, guys. You know, we try not to talk about pop culture. Then we always say the same spiel when we do talk about pop culture. Today, we're going to talk about pop culture. One of the things, I know Emerson really wanted to talk about it, but I wanted to kind of do a rundown, and I'm letting y'all know now, Emerson's not going to be able to really contribute too much, so I'm going to have to pull him in into this conversation. But I watched a movie on Friday, and so I basically want to talk about all the movies I've been watching, because there's been a lot of black shit out. Did you hear about that movie, One Night in Miami, Emerson?
I have.
You did? So you did hear about it, mm-hmm. Regina King, her directorial debut. Mm-hmm. It was so good. I really enjoyed it. It was, if y'all don't know about it, it's on Amazon Prime, but it's basically a fiction version of the story when Muhammad Ali, Sam Cooke, Malcolm X, and Jim Brown all met together after Muhammad Ali had beat Sonny Liston that one night in Miami, I think back in 1964. Mm-hmm. And they all got together and they had a conversation that night before. And it was really good. And the reason why I really liked it, because it was the show, like, some humanity around these black men, and like listening to them have conversations about what was happening, you know, in their own life, but really what happened, the conversations you have between four black men. Mm-hmm. Like, if me and you talking, like how we talk, but how the world perceives us is different.
Yeah,
you know
true.
What I'm saying?
That's true.
And so that movie was able to really capture that. And I was really impressed with all the actors. I was definitely impressed with Leslie Odom Jr. Now, he didn't repost me, but, you know, I did. He did look at my story, and I screenshotted it and circled his name because I was just, I love Leslie Odom Jr. from Hamilton. But there you go, Emerson. You see, he looked at my
Oh, yeah. Oh,
my God. I'm a fan, but his voice was really good because, first of all, to be able to sing Sam Cooke songs, you have to have that soul and that really rich, you know, voice. And because Sam Cooke to this day, I can listen to his music and it sounds so current. Like his voice, like it's people like him and Donny Hathaway that even though their music was over 40, 50 years ago, they just had that voice that transcend. Like I could still listen to their music and maybe not necessarily the arrangement of the music, but the voice is so, so good. And Leslie Odom Jr. did a really good job. The Emerson, you might have think it was some eye candy in there. It was all four strong black men.
No, I've seen all of them. I saw all of them.
But you know some of the controversy. So outside of the movie being great now, my gay son Malik did bring up a topic. Two of those actors were not American.
Yeah, that's what I heard.
Yeah. One was Canadian and one was British. So what did you hear about that? So what were they talking about? Because what his whole thing is, how do you get non-Americans to play, you know, non-black Americans to play African, you know, black American persons who were actually, you know, black folks in America? How do you get non-Americans to play those roles? Like, it's a slap in the face because they basically saying that, you know, on a hierarchy, a lot of black people from overseas or, you know, feel like they're, you know, their experience around being black is a little bit more elevated than, like, the nigga and, you know.
Yeah, they sure do.
Oh, okay, Emerson. So how you feel about it? What is your thing about that?
Well, what I heard about it was what the guy was saying was when these non-foundational black Americans play these roles, they lack the soul that is required to play these roles because there's just a certain soul of, there's just a certain soul or a certain vibe that people that are foundational black Americans have and a certain connection that we have to history. It's kind of unspoken. It's kind of like, it's hard to explain, like, you know, i.e. Angela Bassett, you know what I'm saying? When she plays roles, it's the energy that you just feel from her, regardless of what she plays. You just feel a certain energy. Or even Denzel Washington, when he did the Malcolm X movie, it's different. He was saying it's different. I'm not a movie buff. This is what I heard. Mm-hmm. So, you know, maybe not necessarily them, but like, I saw that cover of that Cynthia Erivo, Aretha Franklin movie. No shade. And I do like her voice.
Right.
I do think she can sing. But seeing it, I'm like, it looked like a parody. It looked like a joke. Now, I can at least say with Jennifer Hudson, it gave a different vibe. I can't describe it. It's almost like an energy. But when I saw it, I'm like, are y'all serious? Like,
but you know, she played Harriet, she played another.
Oh, well, you know, all the black people had an issue with that.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm saying.
They do that a lot.
They do that a lot.
Well, you know, so my thing with Malik, and this is like you said, you were just saying what you heard about it, not necessarily your specific opinion. And it makes sense. I did tell Malik that I didn't agree with it. While I understand it, I don't agree with it I don't know, because I feel like what we just got to start thinking. I think that's conditioned for us to not look at the black experience as being a global experience. Now, I agree, black African-Americans in African-Americans' experience is different. Slavery in America was different. It was, you know, it's just different. It is a different experience. So I don't think it's not to discount that we have a different experience than black people in Canada, black people in the UK. But I think that their experience is valid too. Now, I would say I kind of frown upon maybe them playing real life African Americans. I would say that's a little skeptical, but I don't necessarily get the whole idea that they're coming over here taking all these black people roles and stuff like that. But I'm like, but they're black people. And I feel like, yes, and a lot of them are coming from oppressed situations too. We know that the British film industry is the most non-black industry there is, you know what I'm saying? And I could imagine, I don't know what they do up in Canada. You know, I don't really know too many original Canadian movies. So I feel like a lot of them come from, their experiences are valid as black people. not, again, I will agree with them playing African-American real-life persons. That's kind of tricky because, like you said, they just don't have that same experience. But to play black characters, I don't think that we should discriminate because about, you know, it is an African diaspora. And I feel like in us in America, because we were shut out of learning about the experience of blackness across the globe, that we still have that in us, like they're different and they wouldn't understand.
Well, no, they make it clear that they're different.
I was just about to say that. So that's the part of where, so that was the same reason why we feel that way. Yeah. But I definitely understand that they were taught the same way too. So I feel like they're, we talked about this, internal racism. Remember, we were talking about even the light skin. Like, yes, they come up with they fucked up shit, but that doesn't mean they're not a part of our fucked up shit. That's just another sector of what it means to be black. I feel like a lot of non-black Americans have been fed that information about black people.
I feel like they're like groomed with that information before they come over here.
Yeah, it's a global issue around what it is to be black, and definitely what it is to be black in America.
Yeah.
So in a way, yes, it's fucked up and they got some issues and I hope we are challenging them, but to throw it away or make them feel like they don't belong, I just don't agree because I look at the African diaspora.
I get what you're saying with that, but I think I'm more stuck on, my thing is, why include them if they don't want to include themselves? Like, my thing is, I can see if Apple's being a bitch and saying, well, no, you're not black for real, you know what I'm saying? But they seem like they down for the, you know, they down for the get down and they, you know, they support us and stuff like that. But I think from the bigger picture, because we talked about this, we did talk about how, like, the modeling industry, they seem to pull towards
non-black.
Then the movie industry, they seem to be pulling towards non-black. And I think that...
non-American.
Non-foundational black Americans. The bigger picture, I feel like, is that, you know, they come over here and they are groomed. I feel like people in the Hollywood industry and modeling industry, stuff like that, they kind of know this. That's why if you look what type of relationships they're a lot of times they're in, it speaks to some certain things. I just think that, you know, Anglo, they like having a certain type of access to them and they're willing to give them that type of access because they're told to stay away from us. So I don't know. I think that's my problem. It's not all of them, but I think... Yeah. But I do.
I mean, it is definitely something to bring up. It is a conversation. Yeah. Like, that's why I said it wasn't that what Malik wasn't saying wasn't real, right? Like, you know, but I also, one of the things that I think because they mimic us and because they, you know, like, they are the best from where they're from. And a lot of times they do have exceptional skills when it comes to acting. Mm-hmm. Like, some of the, I just feel like, because we talk about, really, all the movies, the new movie that they're doing about the Black Panther guy, the Daniel, he's another African non-black American that's playing another real-life story.
Betty Shabazz was non-Foundation American, too, and they went back and found out that she was in that movie Slave Play.
Betty Shabazz.
In that One Night Miami. Betty Shabazz.
His wife. But that was written by a black man.
Yeah, but
you don't like Jeremy Harris.
Have you done some research on him?
I had to stop following. Anyway, I don't want to, you know, preach on black brother Jeremy O'Harris. But again, we know how they like us in that. And so it's a good conversation. I want to get, because that's the whole topic on itself, because a lot of these movies, the guy Daniel, because he was in a movie with the other dark skin, with Lena Waithe movie about when they got killed at the end. It was like a love story. It was
Queen Slim?
Queen Slim. Yeah, so the guy that played Slim in that movie, he's playing a story about, I can't think of the civil rights, well, he was a Black Panther. I can't even think of his name right now. So that's a big movie that's coming out too. And I'm just like, you know, you do see them popping up.
Right, because they all be getting, lately they've just all been getting those roles.
Yeah.
I mean, like, I didn't, you know what I just found out about, not to get off topic, but I was first like, oh, interesting. And then I thought about my girl. I'm like, wait a minute now, bitch. I did not know that Audra Day was playing Billie Holiday on that Hulu movie.
But what do you think about that?
Well, you know, I was like, well, hold on now. You know, I'm like, you know, I'm always, you know, I'm like, well, you know, I don't. It's okay to come out with another movie of it, but you know, I'm like my girl Diana Ross now. You know, let's not, you know, people be forgetting history now. I don't know, like, mm-hmm. but I'm not saying she can't do it because of that. I mean, when I first thought, I was like, huh. I was like, okay, maybe. I'm like, I'm, you know, I think I would want to look at that because it might, you know, it, I don't, it might, she can sing and it might, even, I don't know if she's really singing, but I mean, I definitely think she kind of looked the part, but not that that matter. I don't know if she can act, but. But I mean, I wasn't against it. I just thought it was interesting. I'm like, oh, they're coming out with a Billie Holiday, which kind of brought the topic what I wanted to. When I was saying all these reboots and these remakes, but anyway, but yeah, but I don't. I wonder if she found Foundation.
Well, who? Audrey Day. Yeah, that's a good question. But yeah, look that up. But I don't. I think it's a different movie than The Lady Sings the Blues.
I think it's different.
It's totally because it really is. Focusing on about how they really tried to ruin her life because of her singing and. I don't want to misquote it, but yeah, the guy that's playing, his name is Daniel Kaluuya, that one. Oh, Judas and the Black Messiah. He's playing Fred Hampton.
Oh, okay.
And so that's a big thing. But Daniel is British, so another example. But I watched, you know, the guy from and then I think we give whatchamacallit a pass. Nobody talks about him. The one that Stank Puss. That she was dating, that she was stalking.
Oh, yeah. Idris.
Nobody talk about him. We all act like he's just black, and he's not black American at all. So, yeah. So, it's just funny. So, yeah. I don't know. Is Audra Day, is she black? Where's she from?
She was born in Edmonds, Washington.
Washington State?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. She almost Canadian, dude.
Oh. It doesn't say what her, like... I mean, she was born in America.
Yeah, she was born in America. Okay. So that was... So anyway, One Night in Miami was really, really good. Y'all need to go see that. So another movie that I saw with... The last one that I saw with... my God, I'm having all these words. The guy who passed away from cancer, Black Panther.
Oh. I don't know his name, but I know you're talking about
him. We're not going to say I don't know his name. Chad Boseman. And Viola Davis and Ma Rainey's Black Bottom. That was really good. So everybody's saying like all of these movies that's coming out, of course. So, you know, it's the thing as I go through these movies. We've already talked about Soul on the show. Ma Rainey's Black Bottom. I think Viola Davis really did a good job. But Chadwick is going home with the Oscar. What's another one? Oh, it was another movie that I saw on Amazon. Sophie's Love. That was good. That was a black movie as well. But the thing with all of these movies, because I want to talk about other pop culture.
I don't think that What's Your Face Husband is not foundational Black America, I don't think.
Who? Oh, Kerry Washington Husband? Let's go look it up. I don't think he is either. Oh, my God. So all these movies are... I didn't even think about him not being... Sylvia's Love. That's the name of the movie. I didn't even think about him not being American. Civvy's Love, yeah, something like that. So, what do you? I mean,
yeah, his name is Namdi Amsuga. I don't.
Where's he from?
Hold on. No, oh, his parents are Nigerian, so he's what they would call an anchor baby. But no, yeah, he was born in Lafayette, Louisiana. So he was born in America.
Okay, he was born in America. Okay, so he. So he's black. He's regular black. His name is given all types of stuff, though. But he's okay. He's regular black. So, yeah, it's a lot of that. But one thing I would notice about all these black, can we get any modern day movies? All these movies are about history.
We said that before.
All of them. They keep coming out.
We said that we didn't need to, why can't they just come out with movies like they came with back in the day? Like a good soul food or a good brother. You know what I'm saying? I was the little ghetto movies I was here for.
Okay, give us something. Yeah. Why do we all, I mean, I'm not against these people trying to tell true stories, you know, because a lot of history has been told incorrectly, yes. You know, so a lot of people, we have a lot more power in Hollywood.
Yeah.
So we can kind of tell these stories a little better and with a little bit more accuracy and stuff like that. But we can't get nothing that's modern. Like I'm trying to think of the last black movie that got a lot of attention that was set in 2020 and 2021.
I don't know. Or even just some, like, Or even movies like, can we get, like, remember how they used to do movies like back in the day when we were younger? They would do movies of back in the day, like when they was younger and stuff like that. Maybe like it was kind of current. They would like, you know, Fridays and stuff. It was current. That was current, but some of them kind of was back in the day. But can we get like if y'all gonna do a time piece on maybe like 90s kids? Like what our life was for us in the 90s for us, especially just bitches that stuck in the 90s, like, we ain't gonna get no stories about what it was like then or what was going on there. I guess they said, well, we giving y'all all the rap movies or like Salt and Pepper and not
on Lifetime.
But even a current movie with technology and just the way stuff is, like, I would love to see like a comedy with just all the current technology in it, like. And I don't know, can you imagine like in the hood, just with all the ghetto-ness, but you got YouTube, you got Facebook, you got all the scandal that's involved with that, being in like in a regular neighborhood, like they used to do back in the day. Like, you know, I don't know, I don't even know. I could think of just some weird odd scandals. Like, you know, like, bitch, I saw that you was posting about me on Instagram, bitch. I'm at your house now, bitch. What you got? You know what I'm saying? Like,
no, but you know what that is? That's Bego. Have you been seeing, I was following the hashtag Bego Live Fights. Uh-uh. Those people really be on Bego fighting.
I'm not talking about like that, though.
But I was just saying, though, like, that is what's happening.
Yeah, that's what's happening. Right. So, like, stories like that, or even a parody or something like that now, like, because I don't know, but then we were talking, I would personally like a comedy, you know. I think laughing keeps you juicy, so I think I would want a comedy. But then we were talking about like all these, like the Wayans brothers kids and stuff like that. I just don't feel like they had the same juice as they family, because they grew up privileged, so they don't have the same type of experiences. So I don't know, I would love to just see a current movie that was funny, that we could, you know, have us like rolling on the floor type laughing, that we'd be talking about for weeks. Like, we don't have movies like that. We still going, talking about the episode, all these reboots. Everybody keep on trying to recreate all the old stuff, and they're not creating anything new.
Well, I think TV is doing a little better at that. It's a lot of variety on TV.
Yeah.
It's a lot of variety on TV. Like I said, I like David Makes Man. Like, that's modern day Miami, or maybe not modern day. Well, I think it is modern day, at least maybe in the 90s. I don't know exactly if it's they specifically doing Terrell McCraney's, like, it's supposed to be set when he was younger, but that's a version. I would like to see a movie like that. Like, they're showing this young black boy growing up in, you know, the projects of Miami.
Yeah.
Like, we need more of real time of what's going on in the world today. What is it to be like black today? And I don't want these same old professional black movies, like, where the girl is a lawyer, somebody's a doctor, you know, like, we're done with all of that. It's not that it's, I understood the purpose of it, to show black people in a different light, but a lot of people in the hood or living in regular houses are happy too. Like, people can live, work, and be a manager at Walmart, or, you know,
and a lot of, like,
at a bank, and make some decent money and have a car, some cars. They ain't got to be living all day strung out on drugs. Like, we can see more a realistic depiction of the variety of blackness, right? You don't have to just show us either a crackhead or a lawyer, the doctor. It's a lot of blackness in between.
It's a lot of blackness in between. And it's just, I don't know. It's sometimes I worry, like, I mean, not worry. I don't worry, but it's like sometimes I've been wondering, like, all these experiences that even people our age, around our age, are having. I'm like, they're not really being documented. Mm-mm. Like, where's our time? Where's it going to be talked about for us and our times and our experiences and stuff that we go through? Even not, and not on nothing serious. I guess I'm on some comedy shit, on some funny shit, like the stuff that we go through and stuff that we experience. I mean, I can even think of some stuff that happened to people us or around us, you know what I'm saying, that, like, it's definitely story, you know, like, you know, it's definitely TV worthy. Mm-hmm. Not reality show, not ratchet, just life, just shit that we go through. And I'm like, I don't, these stories aren't really being told.
Yeah, not in the movies. I think they're really, like you scared. Say on TV. Yeah, I think they're scared to really take it to the big screen. And put that money behind what's going on. So I hope they figure it out. Because I'm here for all these movies. Sylvie's Love with Tessa Thompson. Soul, the Pixar movie. Ma Rainey's Black Bottom. What is it? One Night in Miami. Judas and the Black Messiah. And what's the Billie Holiday one called? Billie Holiday versus America. Something. Yeah, Billie Holiday versus United States of America. So, yeah, because that movie is based on her actual court case when she was, they were trying to take her out. They did take her out, basically. Yeah. So, a good. All excellent movies. I think they'll probably be even the ones I haven't seen. A lot of buzz and stuff, but let's work on that. But to get off that topic, I want to go into another pop culture topic that's kind of going to be taking us back to our childhood, but currently exploding all over social media right now. So, you know, Raz B and came out and said, you know, that he was going to hit Chris Stokes when he see him on site. He's tired of, you know, living in a lie. He want him to tell the truth, da-da-da-da-da. So he's saying, like, he's calling Chris Stokes out again. And then, so they all responded to it. Apparently, one of the last persons, Chris Stokes, Omarion's brother, had posted something about his daughter. You know, his daughter was Janae Uku, you know, that girl, his daughter. Mm. And Chris Stokes did something with some fist and fire, and Ryan was like, take the polygraph. So I don't know what is going on, what's going on with that whole situation. I think we talked about that situation, not about that situation, but what is going on? I knew it was wrong when we saw them on Cribs and they pulled the remote out the dick on Cribs. What do you think is going on with this? And I'm going to be looking for other stuff about it because it's been all over social media. What is going on with this Chris Stokes and B2K stuff? What did he do with them? I know one of the guys, Quentin, one of the original from IMX, was saying that, you know, he was broke and, you know, Chris Stokes stole all his money and all this kind of stuff. What? I feel the funk, honey. It's all going down.
I don't know. I think they were probably all involved in activity with him and with each other. I would not be surprised by that at all. But, I mean, I guess for me, I hope, as far as them having, like, unresolved issues that they might need to talk to the therapist about, I hope they do that. But all this public stuff, like, I don't know Chris Stokes ain't even nobody that I would, I mean, cancel Chris Stokes. Like, what? Would I do, cancel what? Like, I don't know what I would cancel. I don't do nothing with him. I don't even listen to any of his artists. I don't know what I would cancel. So I'm not saying it minimizes anything, or I'm not trying to discount how they feel, but I just don't know what all this public, like, uproar about it is. Like, I mean, I guess for me, like, girl, y'all, he was probably tickling y'all in your cookies, honey. I would not be surprised by that, or at least try to.
Yeah, so this is when one of the guys from IMX posted, and then your girl Faith Evans said, love you, Quindin. This was back in June.
Oh, okay.
So basically he was saying, you know, he signed to Virgin Records and Chris Stokes at 12. All he wanted to do was sing and share his gift. You know, when he entered the industry, he didn't know jealousy, sexual endeavors, rejection, neglect, hurt, and pain would be a part of it. That was never displayed through the countless award shows that I watched and Sunday morning Soul Train performances. He said, basically, I had to endure so much, but I'm finally on the other side of the dark nights. I no longer resent the people who sabotaged and sought after my demise, Chris Stokes and Marcus Houston. You know what took place. And then, let's see.
Getting a bunch of calls from my loved ones, people that support me. And they're like, take this down, deal with this privately. But I say, yo, they've ruined me publicly. They've tried to smear my testimony, make me out to look crazy, got people looking at me sideways, got people thinking that I'm gay, and I'm not because I was molested by a pedophile. So this is how we do this. Since y'all want to try to shut me down publicly with sending out cease and desist letters, let's get in the room with the lawyers and let's take a polygraph test. I'm going to take the test, and when I take the test, you can do whatever it is that you need to do. When you take it, and when you fail, you take this fate and you take that bit. Because I'm tired of being bullied, and I'm not going to be bullied no more.
So that was Raz B, and that's when Orion said, take the polygraph.
Oh.
My thing with this, we all knew something was going on. Yeah. This is no different than I would say it's no different than the R. Kelly situation in that way.
Yeah.
If this to be true, but we all was like, we know Chris Stokes is messing around with them boys.
Yeah.
And I just feel like the same outrage. What I don't like about it is that whether we know something wrong with Raz B kind of emotionally, right? Mm. But what I don't like about it that we don't have that same compassion or that same anger and rage when it comes to black boys. Like, this boy has said that he was molested by a famous producer. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's just, I just feel like in America, I talk about this not necessarily on a podcast, but that's one thing I really want to do is about, I think we talked about this on my trip back, and I don't want to get all into it, yeah. On my trip back from Arizona, that Thanksgiving, we don't protect our black boys. Unless it's some church stuff. You know what I'm saying? It always comes out, you know, but it's clear.
Well, it's funny that you mentioned that because it's like a lot of these people that you don't necessarily agree with, they feel the same way, actually. Mm. They actually do feel like we got to protect our black boys or we need to be... They do feel that way because they notice that kind of stuff, too. So, I mean, I will say... We do need to have a conversation about that kind of stuff anyway, because black boys especially, I mean, that'd be my main concern, but I mean all boys. I mean, because why is it so okay for like child porn with these little boys to be online and on the internet? Like, it looked like you can almost go to a paid website and pay for memberships for some of this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, but that's illegal. Like, what are we doing here? So, I mean, but we don't... I mean, I think we should take... we should take it seriously. Again, I don't know what to do with... R. Kelly was a little different because I was a fan of his. So, I was like, okay, well, let me erase all his shit. I don't fuck with him no more. I don't listen to his music no more. But, like, Chris Stokes, like, I mean, I definitely... if there's something... I don't even know. What's the statute of limit? Is that, would that even apply?
I don't know. But I definitely think he needs to, well, even if it's not like a cancel culture specifically, right? I mean, I don't know how we could like unify behind that, you know, because it's Chris Stokes. But what I don't like about what him and Marcus Houston doing is hiding behind religion. Because if you look at Marcus Houston, you know, he's this big old religion person. He responded. It was talking about, you know, my Christian brother... You know, talking about Chris Stokes.
Oh, stop it. That don't mean nothing anyway. Now, you need to stop with that. We know you from the 90s, boo, but you need that as play out. Don't nobody believe that no more. All these scandals, all these church people from the church being in relationships, having boyfriends.
But then why do you even hide behind that? That's what, you know, angers me that like you said, we know better. So why are you even trying to make him out to be.
Any of you married that little baby? Which is questionable.
Okay, yeah, all of that. If it's a real marriage. You know, I think it's all Marcus Houston did. He's, girl, I don't know. I think it should come out. I think we need to listen to Raz B. And if Chris Stokes did do that, then he needs to be publicly, you know, exonerated like anybody else.
Yeah.
And the people need to, you know, step forward because, I mean, Chris Stokes has a big legacy in our childhood from IMX to B2K to Jhené Aiko. All these people are relevant in some way over the years of the music industry.
That's true.
So we need to figure, and then they still coming back, Omarion, how we cannot support. We could maybe not support the B2K tour that he or his new show that he got on, Marcus Houston. Let me clear that. Marcus Houston says something about, not Omarion, because Omarion my baby. But I'm just saying, but if Omarion don't come and do what's, you know, if he's trying to stay loyal to his brother, you know, in the face of Chris Stokes, then he's just as guilty.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, if this man is crying out for help, saying that he was molested by his manager, a manager that y'all all making money still, because Omarion, they just had that B2K Millennium Tour.
Yeah, that's true.
They just was making money. Then it went to, Amazon, whatever it went to, they was making money off the tour. So, and that's all going to Christo's pocket.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I definitely agree that I do feel bad because they are doing the classic thing that they do in Hollywood when somebody comes out and tells the truth. They make you out to be crazy. Mm-hmm. Like, hello, you know, my boy, my brother, Michael Jackson. Like, I mean, that's the same thing pretty much they did to him.
Mm-hmm.
But, or, you know, they, we know what happened. But anyway, I don't listen to any of his artists, so I would just have to, you know, from the, I would support from the sideline. I'm like, okay, cancel that mother, take all his money. I would definitely say that, and definitely that's what he did. But at this point, I think it might be some type of statute of limitation, because I mean, it's been a while.
Okay, it has been a while. And, you know, and I don't want that to be an example that we all look at all gay men as pedophiles. That's another thing I don't like. That's not going to help us either as far as gay black men, because they already try to put that on us. And I'm not saying that the pro-black people feel that way, but I feel like that's the, you know, Chris Stokes situation is going to be another reason, you know, you know, the emasculation of the black man.
Yeah, definitely.
You know, and all of that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. Can't stand it. But what else we talking about, Pop? What was on your list of Pop?
Mine was Sex and the City.
Remake. Oh, the Sex and the City remake. Yeah.
or it's going to have a different name.
Yes, it's going to have a different name.
But, I mean, you know, I love my girls. I love the remaining three. But I'm just having a hard time, even if it's a new show, I'm just having a hard time just Samantha not being there, just because, whatever the case. Like, I don't know what they're going to do with her character, because they might try to kill her off. And that's going to be devastating for me.
She would be like 60 now, right?
I mean, but
not that she gotta be dead at 60.
She ain't gotta be dead though. And then the regular girls come back and she just died. Samantha died. Oh. Well, damn. But then y'all still get to go and live life and fuck and do all this kind of stuff. Like, everything's normal. I mean, I guess that's how life works, but I don't know. I'm not against it. It's just, I'm going to support it from the far.
But Edmonds, I think you should give it a chance though. Like, how you going to, I feel like you putting Samantha, I mean, you putting Kim Cattrall over your loyalty to the other girls. Like, so you go diss all three of them and not support their checks because one actress.
I do support their checks.
But you have to watch it to support their checks. You can't, how you going to just, you know,
it's nothing against them. I mean, it's nothing against them. And I know they're, you know, one monkey don't stop the show. I know. I get it. I know it's Kim's fault that her ass didn't want to come back. I know it is. But it's just, I guess I have an attachment to the four, because it's just the four. I don't know. Like, hello, let's not act like girlfriends did not happen. We know what happened when Tony went on there.
It was not a good. So I agree that you should have reservations. You know, but I think that you're just, even if it ended up being good and like a really good show and giving you all the feels that you would want, you would just not support it from the onset because King, and that's
But then too, I think I don't know if I'm going to support that their lives is all like changed. Like Carrie probably divorced. So they sound like they all might be divorced. Because they talk about how dating in the 50s. I'm like, well, who dating? They all married. Mm-hmm. So they probably all divorced and shit, living all these. I'm like, what the hell happened? What is going on? I guess that's what
the show's about.
She's like, I wonder what happened. Bitch, you done got a motherfucking divorce?
After all of that? Right, she divorced Mr. Big. I am through.
Right. I mean, but that could possibly be what it is. So I'm just like, I mean, if they're changing the name of it, it's a whole new show. I mean, it's almost like I don't want to do it because it could be good. It could be like a more fashionable version of Frankie and Grace. But
I love that show.
Yeah, so if that would be a great show. It's just like, you know, Kim Cattrall, she's being the bitch. So I don't want to do that to Sarah Jessica Parker or any of the girls. I do love all of them still, but I'm just like, it's just hard for me. I'm just being honest. It's just hard for me to imagine me going back because, you know, I can do a marathon any day and then I go to the new show and she's just not there. It's just like, I mean, I don't know.
So would you consider Sex and the City to be your favorite all-time show?
That's my favorite show in the whole world. That's my all-time favorite show. So that's what I'm saying. Like, the imagery of, because Sex and the City just got me through so much. So it's like, and Samantha was part of it. So, and I know it's her fault, but Samantha, she was just a part. All of these stories just got me through so much. So it's like, I don't know. I mean, but I'm not against them having a show. They really want to, I hope that it's better than what everybody was talking about with Emily in Paris, because they read the fuck out of that show. So
you know what I felt. That show got two thumbs down. It was just so boring and so lackluster. Like nobody wanted to look like her. Nobody wanted to be her. And I hope that show got canceled. I don't know if they brought it back for season two or not.
Yeah, I don't know. I think they might as well, the way everybody read it.
Just let it go. Yeah, let it go. Oh, remember Carrie Diaries or something like that on the CW?
Right.
Did you ever watch that?
I tried to, but they changed the story up. That's the thing. That's another thing. I'm burned from these remakes and stuff like that. Because I'm like, well, they can't do that with that, though. You cannot change.
Yeah, the girls are actually in there.
No, but they had changed the story all up. And I'm like, this ain't even what Carrie, this doesn't even follow the show. Like, so they that needs to be canceled. But, I guess... Talking about that, and I guess I wanted to talk about all the, like, the reboots and stuff like this. Like, the other day, like, again, the song with, I was talking to Mr. Tesla, talking about Busted with Erica. What's her name?
Erica Banks. Busted.
Yeah.
How she's
sampling Nelly, It's Hot in Here. And I'm just like, oh, my gosh, like, that's, like, a sample now. Like, that's, like, a real sample. I still feel like that song came out, like, 2 years ago, but like, no, it did not.
Okay.
I can remember being in the club dancing to that song, but now it's like a sample. So it's like all these, like, we already know about R&B, how R&B game.
But
now,
the female rappers is doing a lot. Like, all of their songs now are sampling other, like, even Erica Banks. Like, I think if y'all haven't listened to her CD, it's really good, but she got Toot That Thing Up, Hey, That's Crime Mob. Toot That Thing Up, Stop Dropping Lock It.
Oh, yeah, stop. No, I don't think that's Crime Mob.
Whoever that is, she's sampling that song on another good song on her album. And so I'm like, okay, girl, you sweetie part two. But I guess Megan did the same thing. So that's just all what they're doing is sampling other male hip-hop songs from back in the day and bringing it back. And I'm like, okay, it's a cute. But what they're really doing is becoming TikTok rappers.
Yeah, that's true.
Because people liking the hook and the dance,
yeah.
You're not creating your own legacy, you know, in that way. No. Like, you know, different than like a, I mean, honestly, what that Soulja Boy tell him?
Oh, yeah.
That type of song,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah,
it's that type of vibe. It's just now you making a bunch of songs like that.
Yeah.
But it's the same vibe to me.
I agree. The longevity of these songs, like, I mean, I guess every single time in the future when they play these songs, it'll be, you do all your little TikTok dances. I guess that's where we're at now, but I don't know. Like, even, I don't know. I mean, I looked at Erica Banks' video the other day, and I really looked at it. And I really was listening to what she was saying. And I'm just like, really, y'all? Really? This is what we're amplifying? Like, really? Really? First of all, like, she almost like Saweetie, what is she talking about? Like, I know what the hook she's talking about, but mm-hmm. when she rap, like, what is she really saying? Like, is it really, like, is that admirable, what she's talking about? Like, that, nothing she said was like, ooh, yeah, bitch. Like, nothing was like that. I was just like,
no, okay. You just ready to get back to the Busted part.
Right.
Two and shots.
And even the Busted, right.
Fuck it.
Right.
That's the best it's part of the song.
Right. And then, like, I'm like, they just, another one, they just threw out there. Because she does not really have a presence. I'm going to call it what it is. I don't give a fuck what y'all get mad. She has no presence because she was just standing there sometimes. And I'm just looking like, oh, do something. Do something, bitch. Like, you know, that's what I'm looking. I mean, she was doing a little shimmy. And she was trying to get on the ground and popping and stuff like that. But notice the dancers in that video was the bitches that was really working.
That was really fucking it up.
Right.
Yeah.
So I'm not saying she needs to be doing that. But I'm like, you know, I think they're going to push her out there. And then she going to fall flat like a lot of these other girls. Because I'm like, I think they needed to get back into grooming. Or these girls are preparing these girls.
Like a Chloe and Hayley. They was like that. They were the last. That's what happens when you actually groom your artists.
Yeah.
And you see them actually grow and get better as they go.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And they just going to throw her out there and be like, bitch, talk about your pussy, Louis Prada Gucci, and how all the niggas is paying for it. Like, and, you know, and, oh, okay. And then stuff going to start coming her way, and she going to fall flat. She going to be looking like Akbar. So.
But my thing is, you know, but a lot of people, she ain't, like, I feel like she exposed to Megan, because that's what Megan, like, because I think she can rap. Well, she has a flow. I'm not saying, like, all the song, you know what I'm saying? Because, again, I think they're just doing what the guys doing. They're trying to do what's hot.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm not saying that, you know, and then that album, you know, was already out. That's an old album. It's not even a new album for her. So we'll have to see what she ended up being. But I agree, all these samples, like, my God, like, y'all are all living off of other people's accomplishments. And it's no shade, like, if y'all was one and two doing it, but if I, like, listen to your album and I'm going down a list of samples, Megan, and, like, what is going on? And speaking of Megan, so, you know, my boo, Ariana Grande, came out with the album a couple of months ago, since we're talking about pop culture positions. Mm-hmm. I liked the album. It was not better than Thank You Next, but it was cute or whatever. So she had a song on there, 34 plus 35, and that's supposed to equal 69. I think it was the most lukewarm song, right? It was cute that Ariana Grande did a song called 69. It's a lot of other great songs on the album. She gonna do a remix with Megan and Doja Cat, y'all. Doja Cat killed it. Doja Cat just has the ability to ride a beat. She brings it. She knows how to make a song. She's a very good creative artist. Megan did the same 1-2 punch. I like Megan. I like Megan, but it's becoming so redundant. Like, I just ain't never seen an artist be so stagnant in my life on so many different songs. It's like you literally have done the same thing on every single song. Like, you have to, you know, and so the remix is already falling. I don't think that remix is going to have any impact. I think Ari is trying to force that song down our throat with two female rappers, and I think it was one of the worst remakes of in the last year or so. Horrible.
Yeah, I don't, and I share with you offline, but I didn't realize that so many people felt like that about Megan. Maybe on her next album, she'll figure it out. I mean, I don't, you hear old rappers or, you know, the OGs or people that y'all say are no longer relevant that all these new people are copying. Mm-hmm. You hear when they talk about when they go into the studio and they write and what their inspiration was and stuff like that. And I want to do this flow on this flow. You know what I'm saying? They always are creative at how they want to attack a song. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I feel like, again, it's one of the things they threw her out there and she's like, oh, well, this works. So I'm going to keep on doing this because this works. This is what everybody like. Mm-hmm. No, as an artist, you're supposed to switch it up. Especially when you go on a remix.
Mm-hmm.
And you know you go to a remix, you're supposed to bring a different type of vibe. You're on the remix. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, yeah, you come as you are, but you're supposed to bring some type of different, like, fire to it. And you know you need a punchline.
These punchlines are not coming out of nowhere from these girls. These girls, like you said, they be doing these whole rap songs, and you be like, what are they even talking about? Nothing stands out.
Except your girl Doja Rat.
Yeah. Yeah, Doja Cat is fire. I was listening to the streets, and that's the whole song when she's singing. But she's singing, like, but not like one of them annoying singing, like they can't sing. Like, yeah. She's just so talented. And she, again, I'm not throwing her away completely. I know I did throw her away back, but with my newfound understanding of how we all, black folks, we come with our shits, but it's still our black shit. And we need to not throw our black people away, but we all got shit. It's just sometimes it's colorism and racism is a part of that shit. So, yeah, she's Doja Rat, as Edmondson called her. What else going on in pop culture? Oh, Roland Ray. Did you see his wig caught on fire?
No, I did not hear about that.
And then he made a joke talking about, you know, you catching fire, you're supposed to drop and roll. He said, but bitch, y'all know I can't drop and roll. And I felt so bad, but his face, yeah, he made his own disability joke. But, you know, and then somebody was like, well, that's what he get for talking about the dead and all that. I'm just like, don't do that. I don't know. I don't really know how to. Well, I'm definitely praying for Roland Ray. Like, those burns look very severe. I could not imagine, like, one day you see him beefing out with Santana. Then the next day, half of his face is burnt up. And he's already disabled in a wheelchair. Now he has to have surgery on his skin. So I feel so, I don't want to say feel bad because of him being disabled, because I guess that could be, you know, ableism. But I guess I feel bad at anybody that get burned. You know, yeah.
You said not to do that. I mean, I don't know, like, I don't, again, not saying he did it, but it's like, you know, that fast fame, and it's almost like, slow down. Like, you're doing the most.
Yeah.
Getting burned. Like, you're doing a lot.
And then, like, all that energy you are putting out there, right?
Yeah.
And then he does make it. While I am a champion for him being able to prosper, you know, as a man in a wheelchair, a disabled person, but he's also fueling ableism and disability politics, because I feel like he makes a lot of people decide whether they kind of respect you know, the fact that he is disabled versus what comes out of his mouth. He kind of makes it hard to, you know, with the jokes and, you know, coming for people, they coming back for him. You know, like I said, like he burnt, they talk about, that's what he get for talking about the dead. It's like, he kind of, he's not bringing disability justice moving. He's not moving it forward because of the, you know, I don't care. I don't, it's a lot of famous people that has become famous for talking shit and, you know, negative. I don't support none of them. Now, it's funny. Funny is funny, but, like, I'm not a fan of bully or, you know, that kind of, you know, I don't know. It's just hard to explain, but no, not explain, but, you know, like, it's funny, but some of the stuff that he was saying was just ridiculous, you know what I'm saying? And you are a person that's disabled. You're putting the whole community, you know, you could be a positive attribute to the community is what I'm saying.
Right. And there's a lot of positive people who are, has disabilities, you know, on in my favorite cable network, YouTube.
Yeah. and funny. You yeah, can be funny yeah, and without funny. Having to, you know, like some of the stuff that he was saying about Santana and, you know, JT and Carisha, you know, talking about her mama, because which one of some, one of them mom passed is, passed away with somebody.
Carisha mama passed away?
But she not new. Well, not maybe Carisha. Somebody. Okay. Somebody is dead. Okay. Maybe it's her baby daddy or something.
Oh, her, yeah, her baby daddy.
Yeah, okay. So, yeah. Like, you can't do that. Yeah. But I don't want to say that in response to that's why he got burned. I'm not saying that's not a response to that, but that's what people would say.
Yeah, no, they would say that. I don't know. You don't have to be like that to make it. I always, like, when I see people on YouTube and they be having disabilities and they not doing that and they still trying to push through and have YouTube channels and do stuff, like, you know, they don't even look at their disability as a disability. I always, like, have such a soft spot in my heart for that. But it does, if you doing stuff like that, girl, that ain't, you don't have to. I understand. I, why would you even, I guess because it works.
It works. He's rolling Roy,
right? But
rolling Ray,
but yeah. those careers, girl, and you, that's what I'm saying, slow down, because people with those type of careers don't have longevity, or if they do, it's not, it's very low level. So,
limited, very
yeah,
limited.
Yeah, very limited. I mean, but then it's very, you know, very D-list. Like, if that's what type of celebrity or how you want to be known for, you could be maybe A or B list if you went a different route, but I guess they people are like, bitch, fuck you. I got people talking about me, I'm famous. You know, everybody want to be famous.
Right, but you know how much money and probably support he would get for being, like, that level that he already is, but really being a champion for disabled people, persons and stuff like that? It would probably take his career way further.
It would be.
Anything than the Shade Room recognition.
What is the, what's the saying? I'm about to butcher it. I'm about to butcher it. Something with the bees. You attract more bees with honey.
Yeah, that's true. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I don't know what else is going on. This is, you know, I mean, Emma's have a very limited pop update.
I got one that I didn't know about, and it's not a big thing, but it's pop. It's, I didn't know, so don't judge me. I did not know. I did not know. Do not judge me.
Mm-hmm.
But I did not know that Kris Jenner was really a white woman. I thought she had Armenian in her. But she's a white woman.
What that mean?
She's white. She's not Armenian.
Her husband was.
Her husband was Armenian. So my thing is, it's problematic. Not maybe, well, for one, I feel like her hair, her dyeing her hair the way she dyes it, she does that because she wants to portray that she is Armenian. But the problem is with that daughter of hers, that's a white girl. She's all the way white.
Who?
Kylie. Both of them.
Oh, well, her and, did you see? We saw what Kylie originally looked like.
Right, but I still maybe thought that she might have just took on the genes of Caitlyn. I didn't think that she was just all the way white. Yeah, I thought that, but now it makes sense. But I'm like, it's not our race, but I mean, it's like Rachel Dolezal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because Kris Jenner's name is Mary Jo Shannon.
Yeah.
She is Dutch, English, Irish, and German.
White.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a big deal. I just did not know that. I was like, wait a minute, what? I thought she had something in her.
Yeah, I thought so. Well, I guess I never thought about it because I just thought that they all had something in them.
Yeah.
Since,
her husband, Robert Kardashian.
Well, right. I had no idea. So I'm like, wait, so that means Kylie really is a problem. I was giving her a pass because I thought her mama. But I'm like, no, you all the way white.
Mm-hmm.
Girl, you are Rachel Dolezal.
Yeah. I don't, yeah, because she definitely be trying to portray herself to be like a black woman. They all do. They all look.
Well, right.
Because Kim is the mama. It starts with the mama. Because she got the biggest lips and like, girl. With the black dick.
Right, because I saw Kim recently too. And they was talking about how white Kim really is. And I know Kim really is white. But I mean, or not white as in race. I mean, but just her skin. Like her skin, she's not nowhere near the shade that she, you know, is when she puts all her body paint on. But, you know, but at least she got some Armenian, you know what I'm saying? Like, I don't even know, maybe I need to do my research, but I thought that was, you know, I'm like, well, she's, you know, Armenian and, you know, she's just tan, and but she is, but that sister ain't.
Right, Kylie and,
Well, at least Kendall does still give, I mean, I don't feel like she goes as extra as Kylie. Like, Kylie just really like a black woman that might be Armenian. Like, she is a Rachel Dolezal. She just that of, I mean, she is that.
She really is. She just give, like, look at her.
Right. That's a white girl.
That is a white girl. But she has made her body.
But even outside of the body, like, she used body paint, too. I mean, mm-hmm. But we know this because how she looked before. But I'm just, but now that I know what I know, I'm like, no, that's a white girl.
Yeah, pure white girl.
Yes. So, I mean.
Look at her. She looks black as fuck right there.
Right.
She don't even look like a white girl.
No.
Look at, that look like somebody light-skinned cousin.
Right. So,
Well, yeah, she, you know. She,
a girl.
She does, yeah. So that is funny. But what is the Jenner? What is he? Just, I know he white, but is he?
Oh yeah, I don't know. I didn't look him up. Maybe, but
maybe she got something. Maybe,
but
he,
maybe, but I, but Irish, I don't think it's Armenian.
Something. Yeah, not Armenian. Clearly, that is so funny.
No, that really surprised me when I said I was like, what?
Why did I use this picture of Caitlyn on her Wikipedia? Now, that is so disrespectful. That is the ugliest picture.
Right, why would they do that?
Why would they use that picture for her Wikipedia? That is so disrespectful.
I think it's disrespectful when people just always find the ugliest picture to use for people's press. Like, I guess you need, that's what you need to have control of that, have like a press kit or something. But, girl, I hate when, well, I guess it's, what was
yeah, that? Nope, they're all forms of white, English, Scottish, Irish, Dutch, and Welsh. Yeah. Those Jenner girls are white girls, for real.
But at least Kendall gives me that.
Yeah.
I mean, but it's not just the surgery, though. Like, because I don't.
The whole aesthetic. Kylie acts like a black woman.
Yeah.
Just how she walk around with her black baby and with her black man.
And all the black women that she's taken down.
Okay. Oop. Ooh.
I have a problem with that. But so yeah, that was a thing. I'm like, what the fuck? I was really shocked by that. Not a big deal, but I was just like, I never knew that Kris Jenner was a white woman.
Completely.
Completely white woman. I never knew that. But yeah, I don't think I know of anything else that's popping off right now that's going on. I think I did Camila. I thought her Vogue cover. I think I've got some more insight on that, and I think I might have changed my story on that, mm-hmm. like a little bit. I thought about, I was like, okay, well, I know that she feels like she can't dress or get all dialed up and done up like maybe a Michelle Obama, because she actually is the vice president, and she has to, now that I'm learning what I know about style and fashion and style messages that you give off.
Yeah.
Maybe her style message, she wants to give off one of power because she's a woman and she don't want people to get a different perception of her. So that's the perception she wants to give off, that look of I'm a power woman. I'm not a first lady. I'm not going to see, you know, I'm not just here to be pretty.
Mm-hmm.
I will give her that.
That's kind of true. Like, you have to respect that, because yeah. Why do, I mean, it's just a cover of a magazine. Mm-hmm. This is who she didn't show up looking ugly.
No.
It was her regular face with makeup on, and this is what she choose to, that's her Vogue cover, you know, and I thought people were overdoing it too. I mean, I understood it.
I was surprised to see the vice president female on the cover of Vogue, you know, and I guess now that you kind of explain it, it makes a little bit more sense because she is the vice president.
Yeah.
And so she should not be looked at as a model, a cover girl.
Yeah.
Of a, you know, of a magazine. You put me on this magazine as, like it said, Madam President, yeah. Vice President.
Yeah.
And that is a different than First Lady. Two different roles because she... And then, you know, she could potentially be the president of the United States.
Oh, people already predicting
Joe
that.
Biden is really, really old. Yeah. It is no shade. I'm not wishing death on nobody. But he's a very old president. He's not, you know, Barack, you know what I'm saying? I don't even see how old he is. I know he's in his 70s. Because when he even be up there talking, I'm like, wow, is he going to get through this whole...
Some people are predicting that he's not. Some people think that, I'll say her name correctly, Kamala... Mm-hmm. is going to be the first woman president. Some people are saying it because they think that he's not going to make it through his whole term.
Yeah, he's 78. So he'll be 82. Mm. You know, well, 83, because his birthday, I mean, he'll be 79 next year. So that's 4 years. So
he's a, but, you know, just his story, I'm not trying to feel any sympathy for him. I know a lot of people, you know, he's a horrible person and everything, but I just, with his life, though, like, he definitely turned to want to be a president of the United States. All the hits he had in his personal life, like, mm-hmm. I'm like, I commend him for that, because I'm like, how can you even, at your age and the stuff you've been through, like, you still want to do that? But I guess, hey, you know, I guess if that's what your dream and that's what you want to do, then that's what you want to do. But, yeah.
Yeah. But that's all I got for this round of pop. I think we should do a more pop every once in a while so we can really catch the headlines on different stuff. We talked about quite a few different things. So I think that's all I really have for this episode, y'all. So, Wendy Williams, she's just falling apart. I'm going to do a quick down. She just called the Shade Room Lightning Round. Wendy Williams is falling apart. She's looking crazy on her show, telling her brother, basically, like, waging war with her brother on her own television show. It was the most uncomfortable segment I've ever seen from somebody. Talk about their real, like, she talking about her real brother smacking her lips, you know, insinuating that he gay. And I'm like, who does that to their brother who was just crying about her not coming to the funeral?
Well, she kind of said it. She be like, you are just my brother.
Yeah, that's what she said. So, like, basically, he's jealous of me. He wanted the mic.
Right, like, girl, I don't know. I mean, it does look crazy, Wendy. But again, Wendy, I think she's doing this to get up. Wendy's still Wendy. Mm-hmm. And I feel like even when she's batshit crazy or she does stuff like that, she's doing it intentionally. Like, she has a master plan at everything she do. That's why I'm like, I don't know why these bitches be trying to be friends with her. Because I'm like, she already be having plans for y'all when she start fucking with y'all. All y'all, Black China, all y'all bitches. She all like, oh, I'm gonna use this bitch. Like, you know, so I think this is what's, you know, like she ended it talking about that movie. I think this is just all a way for people to want it. Because she recently came out about the date rape. I never knew nothing about that. So, and like, you know, I'm not saying that she shouldn't talk about it, but it was just, you know.
It was even the way she talked about Kevin now, like her husband, she talked about him so loosely, you know.
Well, I think she ain't got no choice about talking about him loosely,
right?
Because she went so long trying to act like the shit that we were seeing wasn't happening. So, right, but I don't. What she be saying about Kevin?
She was just talking about him, like, on some article. I can't remember, but she was just talking about, yeah, she knew that he'd been sleeping around like 15 years ago. She walked in on him and she knew it, but she just stayed for, you know. And I'm just like,
Well, I think this is off of the movie, too. Because my thing is Lifetime, girl.
It's Lifetime,
girl. You ain't going to be able to get that.
You only going to get so many views anyway. I love it the way Dwayne Wade and Gabrielle Union, they is really good.
Oh, wait a minute. Right? I don't see no draws, though.
Yo, no draws, honey. They've been doing a lot of intimate stuff together.
Ooh, girl, right after that picture, I know what I'll be doing.
Okay, on that. He looked fine in that picture.
Yeah, I'm like, I'll be all over that, girl.
Ooh. Oh, Ply's got his new teeth. He took his. Oh, he buried. You didn't see where he buried his goals? He buried them and got some new teeth, and he said he can't stop smiling. He's talking about he gonna eat. Not gonna eat no coochie with these teeth.
Oh please! But it's so funny what teeth does to people. Because I think I like men with nice teeth. So I know I like men with nice teeth because they just be smiling. I'm like, oh, look at his teeth. Okay. You know my husband Lorenzo.
Which one is Lorenzo?
The one that I said that the girl found out that I was over his house. She wrote bitch on his truck.
She was going in on him. All right. Well, that's it for today, this week on our episode of Pop.
Oh.
Oh, no.
You got a title?
Oh, yeah. Pop. Drop. I was about to do a routine. No. I don't know what to call it. But, yeah, our pop culture recap. Everson, how can they reach you and shit like that? Like, what's the 411? Yo, what's the 411?
You can go to essenceofstyle.com. That's my website. And then I hang out on Essence of Style on Instagram. You know, Instagram, them hoes tried to take my music away the other day.
On what?
On Instagram. I'm like, really?
Your music on what, though?
No, just music. The music option. Oh. They went to it. They was like, you are using a business account, and we just realized that, so we taking your music away. You can use the Facebook music, though. So I'm like, oh, no, you won't, bitch.
Oh, my God. Oh, so when, like, you posted videos, you can't play the song?
Yeah, they was going to give me some cheap-ass Facebook account music. I'm like, what the fuck? So I figured out a way. I had to do, well, let me not say that too much, but I did what I had to do.
Okay, you know they're recording this.
Right. But, well, it's legal. I just switched the account. But what the fuck? I'm like, I dare y'all. Talking about some, like, we going to take our music, my music. I mean, I don't, you know, I will be in the future. I'm like, I'm going to need some music. I might want to get up there and do a Busted Challenge. Or the new Busted Challenge.
Busted.
But anyway, I'm done. Oh, but I'm done. That's where you can find me.
Oh, well, I'm Mr. Telltales on IG. You know, and Tyreek on Facebook and Twitter. And, you know, hit up whatsinthemirror.org. Ow. But that's all I got.
Happy Martin Luther King Day, y'all, again.
All right. I had a dream.
Y'all have a good, safe week. Stay away from the crazy.
All right. Holla. Stop me. New sounds on the way, and they could never copy. We'll chop the soul right in front of you like a damn hibachi. Who was never with the simpin' pippin' or the damn Versace? We making soul music, recording off my Samsung. Killing beats, I'm touching these souls like I'm Shang Tsung. Three different projects in the year.